You know, at the 9 o'clock service, Amy Lou was leading, and they sang, she led in a song, The Blessing. You know The Blessing? And something about that song, you know, the whole concept of couples having a song. How many of you who are married and you have a song? No, no one has one. No, we don't either. We have about five or six. Hello, is it you, me you're looking for? Alex sang that when he proposed to Maggie. How many of you were there that day? Wasn't that just so sweet? Ah. So whenever I hear that song, I don't know whether to be thinking of our first dance on honeymoon or yeah, anyway, that's a bit confusing. But you know how songs can take you somewhere? And The Blessing takes me straight back to the beginning of the lockdown. It takes me back to that moment I heard it sung. I remember the first time we sang it in Harvest, and it was during lockdown. And so there was no one here except, you know, my husband and myself, the praise and worship team, the technical team. And it was being sung, and it was like this beacon of light in the wilderness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It came out like this shining of God's love in the middle of something that we were all just trying to find our way through. And every time I hear that song, I'm reminded of that time, particularly the beginning of lockdown. And I want to read a scripture from Ezekiel, and it's starting a little way into Ezekiel 36 and verse 3, and I'm in the Amplified. But the children of Israel went through some really tough times. Right? They suffered. They went through persecution. They journeyed through the wilderness. And I want to read that verse in the Amplified Classic. And I want you to just listen to the words. It says, "They made you a desolation, and they snapped after you and crushed you from every side, so that you became the possession of the nations, and you became the talk and evil gossip of the people." And I want to just pick out some words from these few verses. The first one is desolate. You know, it says they made you a desolation. And that word desolate, it means solitary. Lonely, feeling abandoned by friends or by hope. Desolate. How many of you, and I'm not asking you to put up your hand, but how many of you over the last 18 months has been times when it's felt desolate? You felt lonely, isolated, abandoned. And I like that definition, because it's not just abandoned by people, but sometimes abandoned by hope. But then some other words I want to look at here, because it says that they felt snapped and crushed. You know, sometimes it's people that can crush us, and they might never know that what they're doing is crushing. But nevertheless, we feel crushed by what's happened. But sometimes it's circumstances. It's trials, it's tragedies, it's disappointment, but they felt crushed. And then they went through that horrible experience of people talking. Maybe people have talked about you. Maybe you don't know if they've talked about you, but you feel like they've talked about you, and it's made you feel undermined. It's made you feel small. It's made you feel exposed. You know, that's one of the things that happens when you get talked about. You feel exposed. You know, it's always God's heart to cover. And this is what the people of Israel went through, but there's something else they went through. You look at it. They felt like they'd become the possession, well, they actually had, but they'd become the possession of other nations. You know, I was talking to a lady over the last few days, an older lady, and she was talking about how broken she felt because she'd been so controlled by someone else and the impact it had on her. And this was a family member who she just felt like, in the way she treated her, in the way she behaved towards her, she just felt like she wasn't able to stand up for herself. And maybe you've gone through some of that. How many of you can relate to at least one thing I've said? Just come on, wave at me. If there's something I've said that you can relate to, and my husband has all four up, two hands, 2 feet. And you see, the thing is that that chapter in the book of Ezekiel continues. And I want to tell you what it says. I'm not going to read the verses. Auntie Rhoda gave homework in the 9 o'clock service when she shared the offering. She said, and this is the homework, you have to read the rest. Well, this is the homework, it made me laugh. This is the homework, you can read the rest of Ezekiel 36. But as you read on in that chapter, the Bible talks about the amazing plans that God had for the people of Israel. How he was saying, I've got so much for you, so many plans, they've done this to you. Let me just make a point. Just because people have done stuff to you, just because you've gone through things, it doesn't mean God doesn't have a great plan. It doesn't mean that he hasn't got the whole thing still in his hands. And he says to them in that chapter, he says, I had so much for you. You've got to remember, this is Ezekiel. So therefore, this is being spoken after the event. Because Ezekiel is a prophet who prophesied after this period had ended. So he's ministering the heart of God from a place of hindsight. And every story that's told in the Bible that has difficulty or tragedy or disappointment is told so that you and I can tell a different story. Can I say that again? Every story you see in Scripture where you see pain, disappointment, letdown, failure, it's there so that you can tell a different story. And so this basically shares how God's saying, but I still had a plan for you. So many good things in store for you. But it explains that the hearts of the people of Israel had become hard. You know, on both Friday morning and Saturday morning, just as I was reading the word, it the most incredible anointing just flooded where I was with my Bible opening, and suddenly there was like this anointing that was just melting my heart. And I just started to cry, just reading from the book of 1 Peter and just seeing God's heart for our hearts. You know, he's pursuing your heart more than anything else. You know, your life is just an outworking of your heart. And I was just crying as I read, you know, when you can't get past one verse. And I was just crying as the presence of God just invaded. And I believe that God wants to do something here today. I believe he's saying, I want to melt the hard places of your heart. I want to bring a tenderization in the places where you've become prickly and tough on the inside. Because, you know, it's the plan and purpose of God that we have tender hearts. That's what he wants for you and me. He wants us to have tender hearts. Not just tender hearts towards him, but tender hearts towards each other. And I believe that God wants to do a work so deep down in our hearts today that will bring about a transformation. And I'm going to share a bit more with you about some of these issues, and then we're gonna have some time, you see, to minister. You see, it says in Proverbs 28, the second half of verse 14, it says, "He who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." You know, when we find a word in the Bible that we don't often use in everyday life, we have to look what that word means. When was the last time anyone said calamity? I haven't used that word. You understand? But when you look at that word in the Hebrew, it means distress, trouble, grief, hurt, pain. And this scripture is saying that when we harden our heart, we open the door to all sorts of things. You know, I remember once having a conversation with my spiritual mum. Obviously, she's in heaven now, even more alive than she's ever been. But she and I had a conversation once, and we talked about how God's plan is that we would understand how to not experience avoidable pain. And I was sharing something, and she said, "You know what, that is going to be a chapter in my book. Maybe one day I'll have to try and write the book she never got to finish." Because she was writing a book called 10 Things I Learned Too Late. And one of them was how to escape avoidable pain. Isn't that powerful? You see, something Ralph said last Sunday when he was ministering at the Nine, and he talked about, you know, confessing isn't the whole story. You know, when we're declaring something, declarations are so important. And he was talking about other aspects of the story, but sometimes we miss the whole story, and we miss the kind of ways that we've opened the door to the enemy. And then we end up in utter confusion because we didn't realize the impact that something like hardness of heart could have. So what is hardness of heart? Well, really all I'm going to say is it feels horrible. When our hearts are hard, we feel dry, disconnected, bristly. If our hearts are hard towards God, we feel dry, disconnected, we feel like we're in a wilderness. You know, we're not always in a wilderness. Sometimes it's not that we're in a wilderness, it's that our hearts need an encounter with our Heavenly Father. But when our hearts are hard towards people, then we feel defensive, we feel tough when they're around, we feel bristly, and it's horrible. You know, it's amazing how every atmosphere of the heart that God says, seek this, seek this, seek this, like love, tenderness, kindness, mercy. Do you know all of those things just feel so good? And all the stuff that the enemy promotes that we don't even realize that has somehow got into our hearts, it makes us feel dry and drained and no energy. Because that's what the emotional attributes that the enemy promotes, that's the effect they have in our lives. I just want to read 1 Peter 3, verse 8. And just before I go there, you see, the reason I started with that passage from Ezekiel is this. You know, one of the things that the devil is always trying to do is use hardship to make your heart hard. He can't just get your heart hard when you're on the mountaintop. That's not going to happen easily. But what the enemy wants to do is to use hurt and hardship, difficult times. Because you see, if we don't deal with the difficulty, our hearts will harden. If we don't look after our hearts, in difficult times, our hearts will harden. And God's saying, I just want your heart. If I've got your heart, there's so much I can do for you. And so I started with that verse because The children of Israel's hearts became hard because of the hard times. And so we've got to know how to handle hard times. We've got to know how to get healed. We've got to know how to walk in love and forgiveness and kindness through every season. So I want to read 1 Peter 3, verse 8. And it says, finally, all of you, is that him speaking to you? Yes. Say, that's me.
That's me.
And everyone else say, that's me. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted and be courteous. You know, I'm going to stop there. Some translations, instead of the word courteous there, they say humble, because actually in the Greek, it actually says humble. And that's because, do you know what? When there's true humility in our hearts, courtesy is automatic. We're really courteous when our hearts are humble in the presence of God. But this is saying, be tender-hearted. You know, this is really the cry and the call of God. He's saying, my child, be tender-hearted. You know, I think it's three times in the book of Hebrews, between chapters 3 and 4, on three different occasions, the Holy Spirit says these words, do not harden your hearts. In other words, when I harden my heart, there is an act of the will involved. And so being tender-hearted isn't about saying, well, my heart's hard, there's nothing I can do about it. No, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, there is a way to get from hardness to tender-heartedness. Are you catching this? He's saying, if you will desire to have a tender heart, if you will desire that, that's where it starts. Ephesians 4, the second half of verse 32 says, be kind. Oh, I love that. You know, a really good friend of ours got married a little later than many people do. She was 50. And so she had a lot of years where she would watch the marriages of friends. And ours was one of them and other friends. And she made like one non-negotiable decision about what she wanted in a husband. I don't know whether to say husbands, are you listening? Or, yeah, I think it has to be husbands, not wives, because it's just otherwise, oh. She said, the one thing I know I need in a man is kindness. Because I've seen that if a husband is kind, it can you can get out of virtually anything. Isn't that powerful? And here scripture says, be kind to one another. You know, whenever there's a word be in front of something, it means that we can choose. I don't have to feel kind, but eventually my heart will catch up with my actions, with my words, when I get my heart right. You know, I shared something funny that I used to use to help kind of if ever I was bristling with my husband. And I cream his face every night. You know, one lady heard me mention this a year or so ago, and she thought I said I creamed his whole body, and she said, I'm trying, but it takes a long time. I'm like, no, 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 no. No, no, no. His face. You know, but it's amazing how, you know, let me tell you something. Marriage is a melting pot. There's no institution where you will be more killed. And all the married people said, I mean, literally, you get killed in marriage because you have to die to self for a marriage to work. You have to reach that point where you say, you know, I die daily. Amen, Pastor Hyatt. You know, I mean, and every other relationship leading up to marriage where we get real up close and personal with someone is practice. No one is more, No relationship is more challenging than marriage in your whole life. I remember when I lived, just before we got married, I didn't just share a house, but I shared a bedroom with one of my closest friends. I mean, I love her to bits, but we shared a small bedroom. And I remember I would lie in the bed and just pretend to be asleep so she wouldn't speak. I'd be lying there going, like, just don't speak to me. Because just seeing, I've never told her this, so if you're watching, my dear friend, I love you. But I'd be lying there like, can she not just know when, like, does she not know how to fold her clothes quietly? You know, and one of my dearest friends. But it was practice. Hello, my love. But every time we see the word be in front of something, it means there is a choice. And when my heart is tender, it's going to become natural to be kind. It's going to be natural to love. When my heart is tender, when my heart is hard, kindness is tough. In fact, I'm not going to be kind. And this is back to the face cream. You know, it became a really good opportunity if ever I was, you know, just prickly with my husband, like, oh my goodness, you know, he didn't make the bed again this morning. And here he is getting back in it and not even noticing that I made it 3 times today. Because this man goes up and down to the room so many times you'd have no idea. And every time he goes, he'll sit on the bed. He does his Arabic. He's learning Arabic. Pray for him. And he'll do that sitting on the bed, so the bed's all ruffled. He prays in the room. He sometimes has these power naps. Oh, my goodness. How many of you can do power naps? Wow, you are blessed. He will lie down 7 minutes and go, oh, I feel like I was asleep for 2 hours. And then he gets out, flings the duvet back. Oh, I'm so refreshed. And so I make the bed again. But if ever I'm just like, what is wrong with his bed make? I mean, not that. It's a joy. He started making it, actually, I noticed. Yeah. But then if I'm bristling, I would get the cream. Listen, you can't cream someone's face. I mean, otherwise I'd be slapping it on. Pew, 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 bam! I mean, I could do it that way. I should try. No, I won't. But you see, the creaming. Because I'm being kind. And then my heart catches up with kindness. And you know, let me say something. Do you know why I really want to get it right in all my relationships? Honest truth is, it isn't because I love my husband with all my heart. The reason I want to get it right in all my relationships is because I love my Heavenly Father with all my heart. You know, it's out of an overflow of love for Him that we say, God, tenderize my heart. Ephesians, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving. You know, forgiveness has to be the life that we live. Forgiveness isn't a one-off thing. Forgiveness is something we do every day until we can picture that person's face and all we want to do in our mind's eye is smile at them. And until you can smile in your mind's eye at the person who has done something, then just keep forgiving. Tender-hearted. Tender, what does that mean? Soft, delicate, not hard or tough. Easily moved to sympathy or compassion, and kind. You see, I believe that God is wanting to get us ready. I love, there was something my husband said at the half night on Friday that just stirred me in my core as he was leading us He said, I believe the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit is coming to the earth and to this nation. And then he said, Lord, let this be one of the focal points of that outpouring. How many of you, you're saying, I want to see the glory of God, the presence of God, a move of God's Spirit. And so he says, it's your hearts I'm looking at. I want to look at three consequences of a hard heart. You know, God is so kind that he tells us the problems with doing something to help us to stay on the straight and narrow. So, three consequences of a hard heart. Number one, it causes breakdown in relationships. You know, I remember the day when I was whining about someone in God's presence. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say to me, do you not think they're whining about you to me as well? Nudge your neighbor. In other words, you know, like, how many have got, you've got, like, children who are, what's the worst age for it? Maybe 7, 8. So Benji did this, Mummy. And then Abby, Mummy, but, yeah, you understand. Like, he did this, she did that. Yeah, I remember when they were tiny in their cots and we had a baby monitor in their room, or maybe we could just hear through, I don't remember which it was, but we'd hear Benj and Abby talking and then Benj would go, you're naughty, Abby. And she would burst into tears and go, I'm not naughty, you're naughty. And then he would burst into tears and go, I'm not, oh, come on, you know, like. But you know, he's our Heavenly Father. And he's like, come on, children, grow up. It's really sad, you know, that the Bible tells us that the reason, not the grounds, but the reason that Moses introduced divorce, the reason for divorce was never adultery, domestic violence, although those things, do you know what I mean? But the reason it was introduced, Matthew 19, verse 8. Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce. Relationship breakdown. Number two, the consequences of a hard heart. It produces a brick wall to your prayers. Now, the example I'm going to use is about one type. But I'm then going to explain why I really believe that this is a broader principle. So what does it say in 1 Peter 3, verse 7? And I love the way it's put in the Passion Translation, but it basically says, it doesn't matter which one we have up there. Husbands, then it goes on to say, treat your wives with tenderness, that your prayers may not be hindered. Yeah. Isn't that powerful? You imagine someone praying 3 hours a day, a man. How many husbands in the house? Come on, wave at me if you're a husband in the house. You know what? You can pray 3 hours a day. You might have the faith that will move mountains, but if you have not love, then your prayers are a clanging cymbal. Because love is, what's the first word? Say it out. First one is, thank you. And the second is, you see, when my heart is hard, it's like my prayers are going to bounce off a brick wall. And the other reason why I know this isn't just about, there's clearly something extra important for husbands here. But the reason I know it isn't just that is that scripture I read at the beginning. Proverbs 28:14b, he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Does that say unless he's praying that calamity won't happen? Number one, breakdown in relationships. Number two, hardness becomes a brick wall to our prayers. And then number three, it becomes a barrier to your breakthrough. I believe the reason God put this on my heart today is because there are so many breakthroughs around the corner. There are so many blessings that God is about to release from heaven. Literally, you know, I want you to picture like a net. You know, like in those big concert halls where there would be a net over the place and then balloons in that net. Well, you exchange those balloons with blessings, with gifts from heaven, with breakthroughs, with answers to the prayers that you've been praying for years and years and years and years. But you see, what we're told in Psalm 95 is that the reason God said to the children of Israel, I will not let you enter my rest, my promised land, is because you hardened your hearts. You see, I believe the reason God's put this on my heart, I don't think I've ever heard Pastor Godfrey preach on the heart. And this morning at the nine, I'm like, wow. He was speaking on the heart, ministering on the heart. Because God has so much in store for you, and the devil is whispering in your ear. The devil is trying to keep you just outside. You know, let me tell you what it's like. It's like stepping into your purpose, stepping into your promised land, stepping into your destiny is like being in the wings. In fact, my husband and I preached at a church in Miami, Florida, and it was the first time we'd ever been to this church. The Swillies Church, right? And they had the most interesting setup that I'd ever seen in a church. So their altar was very, very high, and the way you got in was through the back, and it was like a stage in a playhouse. The reason they did that is they used to put in a lot of productions, evangelistic productions. And so I remember when I was being introduced and they said to me, you know, and you enter when your name is announced. So they're saying, and now we're pleased to invite to the pulpit Pastor Joe Norton. And then I have to go, I mean, not like that. But then my husband, he preached two services. I did one. I did the one in the middle. By the second service, he thought, I'm going to have fun. And he literally came out crawling on his belly, pretending to be a Marine. It was too funny. And you had to be there to see it. But sometimes that's exactly how it feels with your destiny. You're standing in the wings. And it feels like it's that close. And you're just outside of that promise. You're just outside of that blessing that you've been believing for. And you're standing there waiting to hear your name called in the heavenlies, waiting for that moment when the divine intervention happens from heaven and you get to step into that place where you can receive everything that God has for you. And God's speaking to us about our hearts this morning. Because he's saying, I'm watching your heart. We're standing in those wings. And the Lord is saying, I'm watching your heart. I'm looking at your heart. How is your heart? Because when he sees that our hearts are ready, it's because of his love. Then he knows that we are ready. Anna, if you can come and help me. You know, it says in 1 Peter 3:4, it talks of the hidden person of the heart. It speaks of the hidden person of the heart. I want you to know there is a hidden person of your heart. And the Holy Spirit is saying today, I want to do a work in your hearts. You know, it's later on in that same chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 26, that then God speaks. And he says these words. He says, I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of flesh, of stone, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I just want to ask you to stand in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, I believe that in the process of seeking a tender heart, in the process of being set free, finding our way out of a hard heart, there are three steps, if you like, three things that we can do that will help us. Because God does the supernatural bit. Healing, when we get healed of the stuff that hurt, that made us hurt. When we forgive, I thank God for that message our pastor preached a couple of months ago about a culture of forgiveness. You know, the enemy is always trying to keep hardness in our hearts towards people. Healing, forgiveness, and then choices. We make a choice every time. We make a choice to be kind. We make a choice to love. We make a choice right now in the presence of the Lord. I just want to ask you to shut your eyes. And if you have sensed while I was speaking, the Lord ministering to you, he might be saying to you, your heart is hard in this area. And I want to melt your heart in that place. You might already have a tender heart, but you're saying, Lord Jesus, will you tenderize my heart all the more? Maybe your heart has been a bit hard towards God because you haven't understood some of the things that you've gone through. Maybe your heart is hard towards people. You know, I really discover the state of my heart towards God by how my heart is towards people. So right now, if you're saying, God, I need to tenderize my heart a bit. I need a deep work on the inside of me. Just lift up both hands in the presence of the Lord. And if there's anyone you need to forgive, do you know what? Do that right away. And like I said, the way we know we've forgiven is we can see their face and all we feel is love. That doesn't mean that we, you know, when people have done terrible things, abuse, violence. Wisdom isn't always reconciliation, but we always need to have a tender heart. Right now, with your eyes shut, if there's anyone that in these moments you just need to let go of any hardness on the inside towards, right now, just tell the Lord, God, I'm so sorry I held that because you never hold things against me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you forgive us every time. And the only thing that ever withholds your forgiveness is when we don't forgive. Jesus, Lord, reach into every heart. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you realize that there's just been sadness or hurt or difficulty. Right now, just start to talk to the Lord. Because he's saying, I want to heal you. I want to do a work deep down. I want to heal you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the first step to healing is telling the Lord it hurt. Jesus, it hurt. Jesus, it was hard. Jesus, it made me feel so stupid. Jesus, I felt exposed. I felt let down. I felt betrayed. Jesus, it hurt. Thank you, Lord. And right now, with your hands lifted high, Father, I pray, Lord God, right now, for just tenderness to be released from heaven. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill every single heart, I pray. Melt every heart. Oh, Lord God, melt every single heart, I pray. Melt every single heart deep down. Lord God, and where there's rocks that have got stuck on the inside, we remove those rocks, we give them to you, and we ask that you would take out that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, a tender, loving, kind heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just make that choice right now. Make that choice to be patient, to be kind, to be loving, to be giving. What did Jesus say? The way you treat the one that you see is the least. Because Jesus doesn't call one person less than someone else. And yet he says, the way that you treat the least of these, the one you consider as least, is the way you treat me. Jesus, Lord. Jesus. Lord, let us walk in your love and your kindness and your goodness. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Right now, just everyone lift up your hands in the presence of God and just say out loud, Heavenly Father, take out my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Give me a heart like your heart, Lord. Fill my heart with your love. Help me to be patient. Help me to be kind. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And just while we remain in prayer right now, if you're here today and you've sensed maybe God's love in this place, but you don't know Jesus as your best friend, as your Lord, as your Savior, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you once did, but you've drifted, you've backslidden, you've pulled away from him. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want him to fill my heart with his love. Just while everyone else is praying, just lift up your hands high in the presence of God. Just lift up your hand high. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to lead you in prayer. Just with your eyes shut, just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you have a plan for my life. Today, I ask for your forgiveness for all the things I've done that have been wrong. Will you forgive me, Lord? Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I give my life to you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen.